The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
Today, Pastor Greg Laurie interviews Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Jesus said, "Fear not." And I wonder, Mr. Secretary, how do you deal with potential fear and anxiety as a believer and as a person in your position?
So I have my Bible sitting out, and every morning I get a book filled with intelligence that talks about all the threats to Americans all across the world. I managed to synthesize them, to bring them together, knowing that the Lord is watching this. That both heightens my sense of responsibility and also comforts me, gives me the strength and courage to protect this exceptional nation.
Apostle Paul exhorts us to pray for those in authority, and few governmental positions are more strategic to our national security than our Secretary of State, the one who represents us in the complicated arena of international affairs. And today on A New Beginning, we're interrupting what we had originally scheduled for today to bring a special discussion between Pastor Greg Laurie and our current Secretary of State. It's a conversation recorded just a few days ago.
Everybody, it's my privilege to interview the Secretary of State of the United States of America, Michael Pompeo, and his resume is so impressive. I haven't memorized it, so I'm just going to have to read it for a moment. Michael Pompeo is the Secretary of State of the United States of America. He previously served as the director of the CIA. In fact, Mr. Secretary, I first met you in the Rose Garden. I was introduced to you by Michelle Bachmann. And at that moment, you were the director of the CIA. But Secretary Pompeo was a congressman from Kansas and a CEO. He graduated first in his class from West Point and served as a cavalry officer patrolling the Iron Curtain before the fall of the Berlin Wall. After leaving active duty, Mr. Pompeo graduated from Harvard Law School, having become the editor of the Harvard Law Review. And Secretary Pompeo was born right here in Southern California in the city of Orange, which I didn't know until recently. He's married to Susan Pompeo. They have one son, Nick. And it's a privilege to hear from you, Mr. Secretary. I can imagine how busy you are. Thank you so much for taking a little time to be with us.
It's great to be with you today. Thanks for having me on with you.
Mr. Secretary, with Memorial Day approaching and in the position that you occupy, do you have any thoughts you would like to share with our nation at a time like this?
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you all. It's truly special. I was hoping to be out there with you. I hope one day I can get out there and see you in person.
I hope so.
You know, so many people are challenged by this virus. It's changed everyone's life for the moment. But I know that the Lord has a plan for each of us, and we'll all make our way through it. Your point about Memorial Day is well taken. I take my job very seriously. The responsibility I have to try and use diplomatic tools to reduce the risk that our soldiers have to go fight and can be injured or killed makes me get up every morning and work really, really hard to try and accomplish this mission. It is absolutely central to me that I do that with my faith in the front of everything I do. I try to operate with a level of grace that the Lord would want me to. I don't pull that off every day. But I know that when I do it right, when I do it well, the Lord is with me. He understands what I'm doing, why I'm trying to do it, how I'm trying to help President Trump deliver on the foreign policy objectives that he has set out to protect this exceptional nation.
Well, Mr. Secretary, I think somebody listening to you, some might be surprised at how well out front you are with your faith, how it plays such a pivotal role in your life. You know, recently we had the National Day of Prayer and you participated. And I was wondering, what role does prayer play in the life of a man in your position?
You know, I, for one, couldn't do what I do without my faith. It drives the way I think about the world. My worldview is set by those fundamental understandings of Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Wow.
You know, I have responsibilities to the country. I raise my right hand to defend the Constitution. That's people of all faiths and all religions. I interact with Muslims in the Middle East and Jews in Israel, and people of all faiths or no faith. So I respect that. But for me, it's an important part of who I am. It informs everything that I do, what I do to try and protect my family and all the citizens here in the United States of America. I've chosen to be upfront about it because I think people around the world respect those of us who are principled in our understanding, who recognize that we are all sinners and that we get it wrong from time to time, but who understand that there is this guide star, this North Star. The president talks about this all the time. The Bible talks about a plumb line, a true north in Amos. Those are the kind of things we aspire to, we try to do each and every day. It's not that we think we'll get to perfection. Indeed, we know that will never be achieved here on earth. But it does, in fact, drive the way I think about my role and my obligations to try to deliver on behalf of the American people every day.
Mr. Secretary, I remember I was in you invited myself and a bunch of other pastors to a meeting some time ago at the State Department, and you mentioned to us that you have a Bible on your desk. And I think you said something along the lines, correct me if I'm wrong, but along the lines of, you know, someone wanted to remove that Bible because it was in a prominent place. And you said, no, I want that Bible on my desk. So obviously, the Word of God is very important to you. What are some verses, you mentioned Amos a moment ago, what are some verses maybe that you go to as you're grappling with some of the challenges and decisions you have to deal with?
Oh, there's too many. I always hearken back to the fact that we all are here and Christians because of the Lord's grace. Mm-hmm. As we were just reflecting, my wife and I, over the weekend on Easter, it was different Easter for us here in Washington, D.C.,
right.
The seven last words of Christ. I deal with some pretty nasty characters from time to time, people across the world who don't share the American value set. The central idea that we have this obligation to try and forgive, not that we don't have a responsibility to deliver security for the American people, but to forgive those who are doing these evil things in the world, to understand that it's the Lord that has the best chance of correcting their behavior. We'll just do our best to deter and defend. Those are the kind of things I think about. We all have our favorites from our childhood. My wife and I taught 5th through 8th Sunday school. It seems like a long time ago. But we taught 5th grade Sunday school. We would always teach them the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm in particular, the Lord being my shepherd.
Yeah.
And I think about him as this, that metaphor of him as the shepherd, right? A lowly shepherd, but who had this responsibility to tend to each of his sheep, each of the members of the flock. And I try to do that in the way we've raised our son and my work here at the State Department as well.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned God as a shepherd. Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I just love that verse because, first of all, he refers to us as a little flock. He's our shepherd who will provide for us. But he says, "Fear not." And I wonder, Mr. Secretary, with the kind of intel you deal with every day, the things that you are aware of that we as ordinary Americans aren't aware of, what keeps you up at night? And how do you deal with potential fear and anxiety as a believer and as a person in your position?
So it's a great question. I have my earthly responsibility, and it's true that you've now talked about two books that I read every morning. So I have my Bible sitting out, and every morning I get a book filled with intelligence that talks about all the threats to Americans here at home and Americans all across the world. To juxtapose those two every day is sometimes hard to get your head around.
Wow.
I managed to synthesize them, to bring them together, knowing that the Lord gives me the capacity to work, to be diligent. I hope he'll give me the wisdom and the perseverance to meet these challenges head on in a way that protects the American people. And then I go back to that most important book every day as well and remind myself that the Lord is looking out over this world, and as difficult and as challenging as these problems are that are presented to us by our adversaries around the world who want to do harm to America, I'm reminded that the Lord is watching this. That both heightens my sense of responsibility and also comforts me and gives me the strength and courage to continue on in the mission. And so whenever I'm stressful, when I'm preparing for a meeting with a difficult counterpart, or I know I'm going to have to confront a very hard situation and deliver news, to some nation that doesn't want to hear about it, but the path that America is choosing to take to defend its own people. I'm comforted in the fact that the Lord is watching over all of us that are in that room that day, and that will guide each to better outcomes for his kingdom.
That's right. You know, I'm reminded of the verse in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it generously and will not hold it back. Thinking of a story in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was called the cupbearer of the king. He was sort of like a, I don't know, he would be like a person who had close access to the president. And you have access not only to the president of the United States, President Trump, but you deal with presidents of other nations, prime ministers, kings, and even dictators. I think it was two Easters ago, you were in North Korea meeting with Kim Jong-un. And I'm thinking about, like, you're in a room with these people. Some of them are friendly toward us, like the prime minister of Israel or the prime minister of the UK. I mean, I'm sure you guys have your disagreements, but others potentially hostile, even our outright adversaries. And Nehemiah prayed, and God gave him wisdom in how to deal with the king. Have you ever been in a situation where you just shot up a silent prayer to heaven and something came to you and it helped you in a negotiation and talking with the world leader?
So I pray all the time as I prepare for these interactions for these meetings. And sometimes in these meetings, you go in thinking it's going to be a good meeting where you've got a common set of understandings, only to learn that you're in a very different place. I continue always to pray for all of those who are present in the negotiation. I pray for the president who gives me the guidance, who says these are the things I want you to go execute on behalf of the United States of America. I know that wisdom that comes from that prayer, the peace that comes with it, gives me the opportunity to help deliver good outcomes for the American people. It increases the chance that I'll actually succeed in those endeavors. The responsibility, the duty is on me. But it's my faith that gives me the strength and courage to continue to work on behalf of America.
In just a moment, Pastor Greg Laurie will have more of this discussion with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. I want to tell you about a great way to hear God's word and worship with fellow believers, not only around the nation, but around the world. It's called Harvest at Home.
Millions are tuning in from all over the planet, and tens of thousands have made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why not join us?
You just go to our website, harvest.org. We have our weekend services there, of course, but we also have great ministry there every single day. Sometimes it's visiting a message from a Harvest Crusade. Another time it's a Q&A session we're doing. Maybe it's something my wife is doing for the ladies. And we even feature Christian films.
Movies such as Lost Boy, Pastor Greg's Life Story, Steve McQueen, American Icon, and Hope for Hurting Hearts with Jeremy Camp and Nick Vujicic.
All that and a lot more at harvest.org.
It's your resource for family enrichment and spiritual growth.
So join us for Harvest at Home each week at harvest.org.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is speaking with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a rare glimpse into his faith recorded just a few days ago.
You know, we mentioned Israel. You tweeted about they formed a new government, and we have a very long-lasting strategic relationship with the nation of Israel. In fact, we were the first nation that recognized her when she declared her statehood on May 14th in 1948. And why is an alliance with Israel important for the United States, do you think?
Well, I also just had the privilege to go there last week. It was really the first trip I've taken since the virus has gripped the world. I was on the ground for just 6 or 7 hours. I met with Prime Minister Netanyahu and now Defense Minister Gantz. Look, for those of us who are evangelical believers, we know that there are many faiths that draw their center from this special place of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. This president has been unambiguous in recognizing the Israelis, that the Jewish people have a homeland there and that Jerusalem is their declared capital. It was amazing to be part of an administration that was strong enough, capable enough to recognize this fundamental truth of the reality on the ground, then to take the actions to preserve the Golan Heights. Then ultimately, when I made the statement that Israel has the right to settle this land, it is not necessarily against the law for them to do so. Those are big changes from where previous administrations were. And I think, mm-hmm. to your point, this is central. They're the democracy in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And yet, more importantly, they share and occupy this fundamental place, this historic religious place that I've I had the chance when my son was 15 to take him there. My wife and I had the chance to walk around the Sea of Galilee. It was truly a life-changing experience for him and for Susan and me as well. We know the importance of this place, this very special place that is unequaled around the world.
Yes.
And we have an obligation to do our part to be good security partners for them,
yes,
as well as good partners in helping them preserve their faith and the faith institutions for all peoples who understand the historic importance of Jerusalem.
Mr. Secretary, you care deeply about religious freedom here in the United States and abroad as well. In fact, the largest human rights event that ever happened was sponsored by you and the State Department. And tell us why you have this passion for religious freedom and for people that are being persecuted, and not just Christians, though Christians are heavily persecuted, but people of any faith. Why is this such an important issue to you?
Well, as someone who has made clear his faith, I want to make sure that every person has the capacity to do that, that every believer around the world, every individual, every human being who has a specialness because of the fact that they are human, that our dignity comes from that, and that in America we recognize that because we know that our rights come from the Lord.
Yes.
Our Constitution talks about that. Indeed, in that very first amendment, it talks about religious freedom. And so I have made a point, as has President Trump, to make religious freedom a cornerstone of our diplomacy. We understand that if countries get that right, if they allow their people to practice their faith, or not to practice their faith, if that's what they choose, but in a way that's consistent with their conscience, that those nations will be better and that those people will be better. So we have built up a big team that works on religious freedom at the State Department. Your point about these ministerials, they've been truly remarkable. They're one of the highlights of my time in service to the United States, where we gathered religious leaders from all around the world, people from every denomination, from nearly every country, who came to the State Department on the same day to talk about religious freedom, the places where there was persecution and prohibition. And then we've made a special point to work on those who are persecuted, whether it's the Christians in northern Iraq and in Syria or the Uyghurs in China. We understand the nations and governments that persecute people because of their faith, because of their religion, are doing a terrible wrong. And the United States has a special responsibility and capacity to respond to that.
Yes, but not all secretaries of state and presidents have recognized that. So you've used your position to help people that can really use your help. And we really appreciate that. And speaking on behalf of evangelicals, when you were a young man, I don't know, were you raised in Orange, Mr. Secretary, or did you move out of that area soon? Or were you a Southern California boy?
I was. I grew up. I can find my way around a surfboard, or at least I could.
Really?
I grew up in Santa Ana.
We okay.
went to First Christian Church of Santa Ana.
Nice.
Up on my go down the river trail and I head down to Huntington Beach. So I know the area well. I miss the weather there.
I'd love to go surfing with you sometime.
I may be a little past my prime, but maybe one day.
Yeah, you know, the big trend now with surfing is stand-up paddle, you know, where they have the bigger boards and they catch the waves of the paddle. It's a lot of fun. Did you ever, as a young man, ever imagine that you would be in a role of being the director of the CIA or that you would be the Secretary of State?
Oh, goodness, no. It would be the height of hubris to think that one would have the opportunity to serve at this level. No, I've just been very blessed. The Lord's given me lots of opportunities. You could never dream that you'd get this chance. And I savor every day, every minute with the opportunity to try and serve, try and help America be that nation that our founders understood was so central to humanity. And every day, every hour I get a chance to do that is one that I will forever be thankful for. I know my time at this will pass and I'll be back. I ran a small business in Kansas for many, many years. I'll be back in a different part of my life. I hope I can find an effective way to serve there as well.
I think of the words to Esther, you know, her uncle said to her, who knows that God has not placed you where you are for such a time as this. And I believe that's true of you, Mr. Secretary, and we're so thankful to have you in this position. And I want you to know that we pray for you. Maybe you could just advise us, and this is my last question, thank you for your time, is how could we best pray for you in the position you're in and the decisions you must make? How can we pray for you?
Well, I'd ask that you pray not only for me, but all of the team, the president, the vice president, all of those who are tasked with this enormous responsibility to try and make difficult decisions in the context of really challenging problems all across the world. Pray for each of us to have the wisdom, the grace that good leaders need to have, and also the courage to stand up for the things we know deeply are right, where we find challenges, just to continue to make sure that we can see the way, can see the right, and that we have the energy, perseverance, and courage to continue to press those things for the good of mankind.
Thank you so much. Would you mind, Mr. Secretary, if I just prayed for you right now?
I would welcome.
Okay. Father, we bring before you the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. I thank you for him, Lord. I thank you for his boldness, his faith. I thank you for his clarity of mind, and I thank you for the abilities you've given to him. And we pray that you will guide his steps. You tell us in Scripture, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So guide his steps and guide the steps and the thoughts and decisions of our president, Donald Trump, and of our vice president, Vice President Pence. And we ask you to bless all of these men and women that are in positions of leadership in our country. We ask your blessing on our nation, and we thank you that we live in this wonderful nation and we enjoy the freedoms that we have. So we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And we're going to share this message with as many people as we can. But I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a blessing to be with you.
Okay, let's go surfing someday.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you so much.
Pastor Greg Laurie, speaking with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo today on a special edition of A New Beginning. And we urge you to keep Secretary Pompeo and all of our government leaders in your prayers. They've never needed that support more than now. We've titled today's presentation, The Faith of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And you can get an instant replay of this interview by going to harvest.org. And our thanks to our Harvest partners for helping us make special programs like this one available. And then we're talking with Jay and Catherine Wolfe. They penned the inspiring book called Suffer Strong. It deals with Catherine's near-fatal brainstem stroke and the way they've coped with her disability and grown in ways that wouldn't have otherwise been possible. Jay, let me ask you a question. Some may hear the subject of your book, Suffer Strong, and think, oh, it's simply adopting a positive mental attitude, or you know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, You know, those common bromides. But as I've read your book, that misses the point.
Yeah, exactly. I think for us, the upending of our life was what helped us to understand the upside-down kingdom of God. So often, you know, we project God in our own image. We think that the ultimate end goal is health and wealth and comfort. And the whole message of Christ subverts all of that. It says you've been given what you've been given so you can give it away to the glory of God. You can hope it forward. You are going through all these things that look like the end of your story, but it's a new beginning if you have eyes to see it that way. And I think so often, you know, even in the Bible, I think the command to remember is in the Bible, I think it's five times more than the command to believe, and maybe even two times more than the command to trust. So to me, that shows that this opportunity for us to remember the story we already know, the story that we're already a part of, this arc of a narrative that God is at work doing in the world that, you know, it may take some different specifics, but really we're all living out this same story in a way of God bringing new life where there should only be death, of him healing through our brokenness. And that to me is so powerful to realize that we can think back to our past and find God at work in it to have this new kind of bravery to live into an unknown future. I mean, we've, you know, come to this place after many years of really wrestling with and through this new life we never imagined living. And, you know, just to, as an aside, it took a couple of years to even come up for air. We're not sort of saying, you know, Catherine woke up from the stroke and was like, glory to God, like, you know, I love my new calling. This is awesome. Like, it was a real, you know, it was an upending.
And by a couple, he means five.
Yeah, a good five years.
Five.
So I want to, you know, just give people permission to grieve losses. Yeah. I think of Jesus crying out at Lazarus's tomb. He knew the end of that story, but he was grieved at the suffering in the world.
Yes.
And so I think that's a very appropriate and necessary, but not to stay there forever, to find that the place of our wounding, in fact, I believe is part of another person's healing.
Yeah.
That when God has allowed us to experience him in the midst of the dark places, that we then have an opportunity to go back to those places and people will listen to us differently because we've been through it. And then we've come out on the other side of it. And, and so this is the cycle that God invites us to of, you know, I love that term of Jesus being the wounded healer and the suffering savior. You know, there's just this sort of this paradoxical sense of the whole Sermon on the Mount and the kingdom of God, and it upends all the ways we think, it has to either be good or it has to be hard.
Yeah.
And those are mutually exclusive and those are separate. But the gospel says on this side of heaven, it can be really hard, but that doesn't mean that it's not also good, because this is the kind of story God is writing.
Yes.
And 2 Corinthians 12:9 is saying that it's not in our competence, in our own strength, that we find God's power to be made perfect, but it's in our weakness.
Yeah.
So we get to choose which lessons we want to take away from our story. Two people can look at the exact same picture and tell totally different stories.
Yes.
And so I can say, you know what? I'm going to find God in my story. And that's going to actually, even neuroscientists say that, that changes the way our brains believe our future. Like, tomorrow may be the worst day or the best day. It also might be the last day.
Yes.
We don't know. This is the kind of reality we're all facing, whether we like to see it that way or not. But I can believe that God is going to show up again because he has in the past.
Mm, that's such great insight. That's Jay Wolf. He and his wife, Catherine, are the authors of Suffer Strong. You need to have a copy of this book on hand. If you're not going through a tough, tough life challenge right now, tomorrow you may be. Or have it on hand for that friend or family member who doesn't know how they'll make it through another day. Again, it's called Suffer Strong, and we can send it to you for just a short time longer to thank you for your investment in keeping Pastor Greg's studies coming your way each day. Can we count on you as a partner in this ministry? In fact, if you can help on a regular basis, when you're in touch, ask about becoming a Harvest Partner. You can write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514, or go online to harvest.org. Are you receiving Pastor Greg's daily devotions each day via email? If not, let's take care of that right now. You can sign up today free of charge at devo.harvest.org, and you'll receive a daily inspirational thought from God's Word each day in your inbox. Again, go to devo.harvest.org. Next time, more encouraging counsel from Pastor Greg about facing our opposition as we do our work for the Lord. More from the inspiring book of Nehemiah next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.